Hello, children. Hello there. I'm really happy to be here with you. You class 9 children, hello. Well, today we'll be reading your unit 4 of the reader. And the name of the lesson is A Truly Beautiful Mind. It is a biographical lesson on the life of a very great human being. Before we begin, what do you mean by beautiful? Well, beautiful is something that gives you a lot of pleasure to the eyes. Okay, pleasure to the eyes. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. You know, this was told by Keats. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. So when you look at anything beautiful, it gives you a lot of joy. So you'll find beauty in the setting sun, in the sun setting in the horizon, then a beautiful red rose, then the face of a cute baby. Then how about looking at Leonardo da Vinci's painting Mona Lisa, Van Gogh's sunflowers, and my favorite actress, you know, Alia Bhatt, and beautiful mountains, blue mountains with bluebells, and even a single leaf is such a beautiful thing to behold. Well, all these things of beauty will give you lots of joy. But do we have beauty only externally? Definitely not. We have beauty internally too. This is internal beauty. And this internal beauty is what makes people beautiful. Well, when you think of internal beauty, we think of all the great people we know. Yes, we'll think of Mother Teresa, the saint of the gutters. You know, she won the Nobel for her service to the poor of Calcutta. Then you think of Albert Einstein. Though he was not beautiful, he was such a great man. Then we think of Stephen Hawking, Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Baba Amte. You know, Baba Amte worked with leprosy patients. Such a great man, such a beautiful human being. Then we think of Dalai Lama, who always talks of peace. Yes, so these are beautiful people who gave beautiful things to the world. So beauty is not just external, it is also internal. And it is such things that makes people beautiful too. Then you will have acts of kindness. Just the other day, I think a few weeks back, I got a forward on my WhatsApp, you know, about two children from the slums, I guess, rescuing a street dog from a gutter. You know, the dog was literally going to drown in the gutter, and these two children risked their lives, you know, got near the dog into the gutter, pulled it out. What a beautiful personality they had. I'm not talking of the external personality, children. You know, the internal thought of trying to help somebody. Remember, kindness also adds to beauty, isn't it? Then what is this beauty? What's a beautiful mind? What do you mean by beautiful mind? Well, I think that there are a few points we can keep in mind when we think of a beautiful mind. A beautiful mind is somebody or something which brings happiness to the lives of others. A person with a beautiful mind makes others happy. Okay, then a person with a beautiful mind is calm, tranquil, is serene, is peaceful. Then a person with a beautiful mind has a healthy sense of appreciation, is ready to appreciate people around you. Okay, people, situations, things, a very positive person. Then a person with a beautiful mind is not at all judgmental, has no prejudice, doesn't criticize anybody. Okay, neither criticize others nor criticize oneself. Right? So that is also somebody with a beautiful mind. A beautiful mind is non-judgmental. They don't make judgments. And then how about their thoughts? They know. Their thoughts are clear. They know what they want. Okay. And a person with a beautiful mind lives from a moment to a moment with spontaneity. There is no drama for them. Okay. Everything is so natural in their lives. Okay. So they live moment to moment. Last year in Standard 8, you studied about this beautiful man called Stephen Hawking. Yes, he held the chair of physics in the University of Cambridge, and the author Firdaus Kanga had gone to Cambridge to meet him. And though Stephen Hawking is a paraplegic, somebody who cannot walk, all his limbs are down with paralysis, cannot even wad an eyelid, how he, you know, talks to Firdaus Kanga. And Firdaus Kanga himself is a paraplegic, you know, he's on a wheelchair. And how these two people interact. And then Firdaus Kanga says that Cambridge was for him, London was for him, Cambridge. And because Cambridge housed such a great man called Stephen Hawking. And if you remember, there is a line about the lantern and the incandescence inside. Incandescence is that glow. So the glow makes the person beautiful. You know, Stephen Hawking, what a beautiful man. So last year it was Stephen Hawking, and this year we are going to study and learn more about this beautiful personality called Albert Einstein. Now, Albert Einstein was a German Jew. Okay, he came from the country of Germany, and he practiced, they followed the religion of Judaism. So he was a German Jew, and he was born on 14th March 1879 in the city of Ulm. Ulm is a very funny sounding name, no? Ulm in Germany. Okay, Ulm is situated in the southern parts of Germany, bordering Switzerland and, Austria. Now, he was born to parents called Hermann Einstein and Pauline Einstein. Okay, he also had a sister later called Maya. So, this is Albert Einstein. And children, if you look back at the PDF, there is a picture of Einstein's house, the block in which he was born. You can't really pinpoint his house because there are lots of, it's a big building. And probably he was born in one of the apartments over there in the city of Ulm. So you will also see a map, to see where Ulm is. It is situated in the southern parts of Germany. And around it are three countries, Switzerland, Italy and Austria. Now in those days, you had the German Empire. Okay, so Germany had conquered different parts of Europe, and most of the countries in Europe had, the people of those countries followed the language called German. Okay, the German language was imposed on them, and most of the people knew how to speak German. Well, coming back to Einstein. So Einstein, after he started growing up, his mother found him to be very funny, and she thought he was a freak. No, a freak is somebody who's not normal, isn't it? Even in his infancy, as a one-year-old and two-year-old, she found this boy to be a funny boy. He was not an ordinary boy. And she says the reason why he was a freak was because he had a big head, it seems. Generally, children have big heads. But okay, so this mother thought her son was a freak. And this got confirmed later when he started growing. When he became 3 or 4, she was totally, she completely confirmed this thought that he was a freak because he did not like to play with other children. Now, how are children? They like to play with others. They share their toys. They fight. They form groups and play. But our Albert Einstein was a loner. He did not want to play with anybody. He only wanted to be by himself. Okay, and he wanted to play mechanical toys. He had this mechanic set. So he would sit with a screwdriver, spanner and nuts and bolts and fit things and enjoy making things out of these mechanics. So he was a very creative boy. And what did the other boys do? The other boys teased him and they named him as Brother Boring. Name calling is so bad, children. You mustn't name anybody. You shouldn't pick at people and call them names. It's a very bad thing. He was called Brother Boring. But did our Albert Einstein bother? He didn't bother because he was engrossed and he was lost in his own world. He loved playing with his mechanical toys. Now, he was so much into mechanical toys that when his sister was born, he thought it was a doll. It was a mechanical doll. And he asked his mother where her wheels were. So the mother started laughing. You see what a funny boy Albert Einstein was. So innocent he was. He thought even his sister was a mechanical toy and that she was a toy without wheels. So he asked his mother that, "Mom, where are my sister's wheels?" Very funny indeed. Okay, now he started growing and so he had to go to school. Well, before that, the parents left Ulm and they went and settled down in another German city called Munich. Munich is also situated in the southern parts of Germany and he studied in a school in Munich. Now, he did not like school at all because for Einstein, school meant rote memory. You call this, learning things by heart, rote memory. Then school meant rules and regulations. School meant sitting in one place. School meant learning what only the teacher taught. School meant not doing anything on your own. So he did not like this kind of regimentation at all. He found it to be very, you know, stifling. He found that he was tied down to all this. And he was a free bird. He wanted to think creatively. Remember, he liked those mechanical toys. He liked to make things out of that. And such a child is put on a chair and made to sit there all day. And he is not allowed to think differently, learn what the teachers told him. He didn't like his school wee bit. Now, it so happened that the feelings were mutual. He didn't like the school and the school teachers didn't like him. It so happened that his father, when Hermann Einstein visited the school once, the headmaster itself told the father that his son was a no good. Okay, the son would never succeed in anything and it was a waste for him to go to school. So such kind of statements by teachers and headmasters is not correct. You know, it just tells us how prejudiced he was. What is prejudice? You know, being judgmental, thinking very narrowly, you know, not having a broad mind. Being a headmaster, he should have understood that this child was different. He should have, you know, been a little more patient with the boy. But you see how he told the father that Einstein was a no good. And that Einstein was going to get nowhere, that Einstein would be nothing. Now, it's very sad to hear all this, right? So you mustn't be prejudiced and judgmental, children, because you don't know. You see, the headmaster called him a no good. And what did Albert Einstein become in the end? He became one of the world's best scientists, became a Nobel laureate. He won a Nobel Prize. Not just that, children, the Times magazine rated him as the best human being of the 20th century. And after his death, people took his brain and did lots of research on his brains. Okay, so you see how judgments are wrong. You can never judge a book by its cover. You know that, isn't it? That expression is so very apt in the case of Albert Einstein. Okay, so because of this kind of a mutual, you know, animosity or hatred towards each other, what did Albert Einstein do? He told his parents that he is not going to go to school, especially in the school in Munich, and he decided to stay back at home. His parents luckily agreed with him. Okay, so he was home tutored, home schooled. His teachers were called home, maybe separate other teachers, somebody else. His home tutors came home and he was coached and he did very well. Children, one thing else I forgot to tell you. Though he was in school, even when he was in school and when he didn't like it, he continued to get good marks. Though he scored well, he was not liked by his teachers. Though he scored well, he didn't like school. Okay, so that is it. So finally, he stayed back at home and he was home tutored and homeschooled. And he loved studying physics and mathematics, and especially he loved geometry. Okay, now when you look back into your devices later, children, you can see a map of Munich. You can see that it is surrounded by Austria, Italy and Switzerland. And I guess it is near Ulm too. Okay, so that was Einstein. Now, apart from being good in maths and physics, he was also keen. He had a keen ear for music and he loved music. And his mother understood this when he was around 6 years old and she had a tutor to teach him violin. So he learned violin very, very well. Now, see, children, this is somebody breaking another stereotype. You know, we all generally think that people who are good in physics and maths are bookworms. They know only books. They know only calculations. Their noses are buried in books and they know nothing else. But see, here is a man who was an excellent musician. In fact, in one of his books, he writes, and I think he spoke this somewhere, that if I were not a physicist, I would probably be a musician. You know, this is what he told the world, and that he often thought of music. He lived in daydreams in music, it seems. And he saw his life in terms of music. He said that he gets most joy in life out of music. Okay, so his mother realized it and she got him a tutor, and see, he became such a great musician. And it is said that he participated in a lot of chamber music. Now, chamber music is held in houses. Okay, artists and musicians are called, and a select group of audience, all those people who love music, come to that particular house, and the select music set of musicians play to the select set of audience. And then, you know, it is a mutual respect there. So he loved, though he did not give public performances, he did participate in chamber music. Now, I was talking to you about his love for mathematics and physics. So what happened? As he was growing, probably I think when he was 15 years old, His parents had to go to Milan. His father was a businessman. Okay, so his father left Munich and they all went to Milan. Milan is a city in Italy. But Albert Einstein decided to go to Zurich. Now, Zurich is a city in Switzerland. Now, I told you, Switzerland was part of the German Empire. Many parts of Europe were parts of the German Empire. And they spoke Germany there, German language there. So, Albert Einstein decided to go to the Polytechnic School in Zurich. And there he, he gained his diploma in academic teaching diploma in physics and mathematics. Okay, this happened in the year 1900. And what was the name of the university? The Swiss Federal Polytechnic School in Zurich. And what did he train to be? He trained to be an academic teaching, two subjects, mathematics and physics. And he got a diploma. And this he did in the year 1900 in his two favorite subjects, physics and mathematics. And he preferred Zurich. He did not want to go back to Munich. He loved Zurich because Zurich was a very liberal society. It was not conservative. Conservative means, you know, always strict rules and regulations, not giving freedom to people, you know, being very disciplined in their thought, narrow-minded in their thought. If you're conservative, you're a little narrow-minded too. But Zurich was a very liberal society, broad-minded people, ready to accept different people. So for Einstein, remember, he was a very different person. He fit very easily in Zurich. There was nobody who would judge him. Okay, criticize him and judge him, stereotype him, you know, and he did not face this kind of prejudice in Zurich. So in Zurich, he earned his degree, his diploma in the year 1900. Okay, so when you go back to your devices and look at the presentation, children, you will also see Zurich is situated in Switzerland. And, he studied there in the Swiss Federal Polytechnic School. Now, children, we all always think that somebody who loves physics and maths and all are, you know, bookworms. They don't lift their face out of the books. They're always, you know, noses buried in books and, you know, performing calculations. Well, Einstein was not like that. He was a very handsome young man who liked to look handsome, and he sported a big mustache. Okay, and the mustache was called a walrus mustache. You know walruses? Walruses are those aquatic mammals. You know, they have those big, long, lots of hair on their noses. So Einstein had a walrus mustache and he looked really charming and handsome too. So that was another stereotype being broken by Einstein. Okay, children, so that is a little bit about Einstein in these two pages, page number 46 and 47 of lesson Unit 4. Now, I have finished, giving you a brief about it. Your duty is, you will have to read these two pages twice. Children, that is your work. It is very important that children read their textbooks. Okay, read the textbook twice. Read it once silently. Okay, and underline all the difficult words. Then second time, read it aloud so that you are able to hear your own voice. Okay, you must do it. Okay, and along with this reading material, you also have a worksheet, children. Open the worksheet. You have a set of fill in the blanks. Okay, you can easily fill them. They're very easy. And you have a set of question and answers. Questions, answers, you will have to write them in 20 to 30 words. Now, I'm going to warn you, the answers are not there in the textbook. You'll have to think and write. They're all thinking answers. Okay, they are not directly from, no cutting and pasting. You will have to think and write. So, children, finish your worksheet. First thing, read your text twice, once silently and once loudly. Then second thing, finish your worksheet and then show it to your teacher when your teacher tells you to. Don't pester your teacher. Okay, so that is module 1. We'll be meeting you again, children, with the rest of the pages in module 2 and 3. Bye-bye. See you. Ciao. Bye.